Welcome to Bloomers in the Garden. I'm Len Schroeder.
And I'm Julio Zamora.
Holy hydrangeas. Yes, we're talking about hydrangeas again. Joe asked if he can cut back his gigantic hydrangea. We'll give you the answer in our first segment.
We received an email from a listener who had a lilac that wasn't doing well. We'll explain the problem in our second segment.
Cover crops enrich your soil, cuts down on weeds, and it does so much more. We've got you covered in our third segment.
Ornamental kale and cabbage are a unique decorative fall plant. Len and I will discuss how best to use them in our fourth segment.
And finally, we're going to be back in the garden planting onion and garlic sets. So stay tuned. We'll be back in the garden right after these messages.
Bloomers in the Garden is brought to you each week by Bloomers Home and Garden Center. Bloomers is an award-winning garden center just 20 minutes from Philadelphia. Bloomers has been providing expert advice turning brown thumbs green for over 30 years. At Bloomers, we want you to ask us every question, even if you think it's silly. We share information in a friendly, non-judgmental way that is meant to teach and spread the joy of gardening. Visit Bloomers Home and Garden Center in Washington Township, Gloucester County. For directions, go to bloomers.com, and we'll see you in the garden.
Hi, this is Len Schroeder from Bloomers in the Garden. Do you have a landscape, garden, or plant question? If so, call or text us using the Bloomers in the Garden hotline. Dial 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. Don't be shy. We want to hear from you. Call or text us and let us know what problems you're facing. Let us know how we're doing. Call or text 609-685-1880. If we use your comment on the air, we'll send you a free Bloomers t-shirt. Call or text us at 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. And we'll see you in the garden.
Before the weather gets too cold, now's the time to apply Fertilume's winterizer for established lawns. Grass absorbs the greatest amount of nutrients later in the season, just prior to the winter months. This 25-5-6 analysis also contains 5 micronutrients: boron, copper, iron, manganese, and zinc. Fertilume's winterizer for established lawns builds hardiness, stem strength, and disease resistance, ensuring a healthy, stable plant which can endure the hardships of winter better than weaker plants. Lawns fed in the fall are first to green up in the spring. So, the next time you are visiting your favorite garden center, ask for Fertilume's winterizer for established lawns and expect to have the best-looking lawn in the neighborhood.
Church's Garden Center and Farms, Seashore Road, Cape May, New Jersey. Collegeville, Do It Best, Ridge Pike, Collegeville, Pennsylvania. County Line Nursery, Harleysville Pike, Harleysville, Pennsylvania. You're listening to Bloomers in the Garden Radio. Listen anytime through your favorite podcast provider or hear us on the radio each weekend. Every Saturday morning, Bloomers in the Garden Radio is heard in Philadelphia and throughout the whole Delaware Valley, first at 8 a.m. on Talk 860 WWDB and again at 9 a.m. on AM 800 WTMR. On Sunday at 8 a.m., we can be heard through the New York Tri-State area on Classic Oldies 1250 AM WMTR. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in the garden. Welcome back to Bloomers in the Garden. Hey, Joe, you out there listening? I hope so.
I hope so.
Because you went and texted me about your gigantic hydrangea. You asked me if I can cut it back now.
Is that a loaded question or what?
Wow, that is a loaded question.
All right. Here we go. Hydrangea school is in session.
Yes, it is.
Julio.
Get your papers
a
out.
A panicle hydrangea. Ooh, this is testing Julio's knowledge. I'm putting you on the spot.
Okay.
Panicle hydrangea. Mm-hmm. Flowers when?
It flowers in late summer.
Late summer. Usually a white bloom, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
Almost always a white bloom. And it's the ones that they fade to either like a pink or sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Name me. Here we go. Riddle me this, Batman. Name me the most popular panicle type hydrangea.
Limelight.
Wow, look at that. Wow, look at doesn't have notes or nothing, folks.
Oh,
I'm impressed.
I know.
So limelight hydrangeas are panicle type hydrangea. And I had to ask Joe. I said, all right, Joe, listen, you can't be cutting back the ones that bloom in spring. Yeah. And those are called macrophylla types. Macrophylla types are the blue and the pink and the ones that you have to, you know, say, put aluminum sulfate to make more blue.
those leave alone. It's too late. You missed your shot to cut them back and just don't do anything. But Joe had a panicle type.
Oh, okay.
May have had a limelight. Yeah. And it was big, over 6 feet.
Ooh,
so it was the early one that now there's two different varieties. There's little lime, and then there's a new one called Limelight Prime, which is really dwarf.
Really dwarf.
Very new for this year. Mm-hmm. We have looked at it, and we're big fans. Tim Woods, right?
Yeah, Tim Woods.
I got something recently from Tim Woods, the plant hunter. He is the one who, from Proven Winners, that basically discovered the whole Limelight series.
They did.
At least I'm giving him credit for it. He said so.
Yeah, he did.
He was on the show.
Yeah, he's a winner.
Anyway, so panicle types you can cut back now. It's usually we recommend for it to be like in late winter. Or early spring. But if he's got it where this thing is monstrous, and actually Joe sent a picture, it was the size of a Volkswagen. It's pretty big. And it was blocking something. And he can cut it back really, really hard. And now here we go. Mm-hmm. Old wood, new wood. Okay, Julio, you're on a roll.
Okay, I am.
What is the significance of old wood versus new wood when it comes to hydrangeas?
Okay, the old wood is from last year. So we're in 2021.
Right.
It was from 2020 and where the buds started to perform.
So in this spring, so old wood would be from 2021. So 2022, old wood would be from the previous year.
This year, yeah.
Now, hydrangeas, specifically macrophylla types, the blues and the pinks, that they will flower first on that old wood and put up their best show. Mm-hmm. And I don't care if you've got repeat bloomers. Repeat bloomers, and that's the other key. So now a repeat bloomer, when you have, say, a endless summer or any of the other gazillion types that are now repeat bloomers, and again, scientifically, respect, please, to the horticulture community for the work that's done. And we talked about hybridizing last week.
Mm-hmm, we did.
Creating a hydrangea that can rebloom. I mean, that's big.
It's big, yeah.
That's big. So what it does is it reblooms, doesn't have any old wood because it already put out its flush of flowers. And that's, we'll dumb it down a bit. Mm-hmm. Plants come out, they'll flower, or they'll grow their first section of growth over their old growth. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, all right, hang on, folks. And then they'll push out new growth.
Yeah.
Now the hydrangeas push out flowers in the spring and then push out new growth and then they reflower on that new growth. And that's what's so spectacular about those macrophylla reblooming hydrangeas. And if Joe had that pink or blue macrophylla, he shouldn't touch it. And I'm telling you right now, everybody out there, how many times, Lily, do we have, my hydrangeas don't bloom. Everybody's else are beautiful and mine doesn't bloom. And what's the first question? When did you shear?
Yeah. When did you cut it back? Did you cut it back?
And we've talked about good meaning landscape folks that are trying to get some billable hours before the winter sets in and they want to do a lot of pruning and then they prune everything and they're pruning things that they shouldn't, like macrophylla hydrangeas.
That's right.
So if you have a problem with a hydrangea that doesn't bloom, you got to find out and check to see when you're pruning it back.
Right.
Same thing applies to azaleas, right?
Yep.
You better not be out there cutting back any azaleas, PJMs, rhododendrons, because what's happening is you're cutting off all of the blooms that you're supposed to get in spring.
Right.
So I hope you enjoyed what you're getting, because that's going to be it.
Yep.
You're going to get some leaves, and that's about it. But you know that there's been a lot of work, like the Encore azaleas and the new ones.
Yeah.
You like, beautiful. I mean, you're in the nursery most. What do you think of those?
We get a lot of people say, I'm looking for those that rebloom.
Right.
So we're getting more
but
of that.
But what do you think personally?
I just like them once.
Yeah?
Yeah, I just like azaleas, big pop in the spring.
Yeah. Yeah, there's nothing nicer than like a Hershey red or a tradition pink.
There is.
But if the first bloom of the repeat blooming azaleas is pretty sharp.
It is sharp.
But afterwards, it's like spotty on the plant.
Yeah. They're not bad. They're getting bad. I think they're not bad.
Yeah, I would consider planting them, mm-hmm. I would look real hard and know the variety and find out, listen, is it always kind of spotty, or does it have a big, huge blossom in the spring and then it just kind of puts flowers out here and there? And I know that they're doing good work.
They're doing good work.
And of course, who's got their fingers in the mix? Proven winners.
PW.
sorry, Tim. Yeah. But still, it's something you can do, but don't be pruning your early spring flowering plants now. Leave them alone. You missed that boat. Always prune. Again, we talk about Dr. Armitage all the time. We talk, you know, he said, just prune after they're bloomed. Drop the mic. Going home, you know, and that's the rule. So if you prune right after they bloom, it'll help things to tighten up and to be a nicer, bushier plant. Try not to just prune for the sake of pruning. Prune by when the plant blossoms or it needs it, as opposed to pruning because, oh, it's September or it's October. We need to prune now. So it's not necessarily a timing thing with all plants for fall. It's actually each. I have that backwards. Each individual plant needs to be pruned at the right time. Versus a time of year to do all plants.
Right. Yep.
All right.
Yeah. And sometimes you have to, you know, you can prune some of the dead stems.
And if there's like a branch that you just need to cut off.
It's hanging all the way.
Yeah,
right?
You do it. Yeah. And you don't have to wait. But it's when people do that shear.
Oh, yeah.
It's like all of a sudden, like, there go the flowers. It's like, okay, they'll be in. Lots of family fights over those things. Husbands and wives come in.
I haven't seen it for years.
We do a little marriage counseling in the nursery now and then.
That's right. Psychologist, Dr. Leonard.
That's right. How do you feel about that? The only other advice, don't cut them back too far down. You can cut them really hard. Like you could cut them in half. But there is a point where that crown of the plant, where it's coming out of the ground and it's branching from that spot, do not go below that. You have to go to that. I would leave at least 6 to 8 inches above where those branches start from out of the root system. So that's going to be pretty tight. But don't go anything more than that. And you got to keep in mind, now everything's going to have to be branched. It'll separate. Every place you put a cut, it's not going to rebloom from that. It's going to split and divide, and it'll be a fuller, thicker plant. So just saying. All right. Anything to add, Hull?
No, I think we hit all that huge hydrangea problem.
last question.
What's that?
Should I feed my hydrangeas now?
No, I would wait until spring. You can do it now.
Absolutely do it now.
Yeah.
Holly tone twice a year, at least. You know, you're going to, if you put holly tone down, a little bit acidic, and that you want to feed now, because what happens is it works itself into the root system, and the roots are looking for nutrient value because they're getting prepared for the winter. So, yes, absolutely feed them. You do not want to use a liquid fertilizer. You want to use a very slow release or organic fertilizer for all of your nursery plants. I would go as far as even all of your perennials as well, because, again, you're building roots. You're nurturing the plant's root system, not necessarily for top growth. In spring, it's all for the tops. Think of fall, it's all for the roots.
Root systems. Still growing.
All right. We'll be right back right after this. Hi, this is Len Schroeder from Bloomers in the Garden. Do you have a landscape, garden, or plant question? If so, call or text us using the Bloomers in the Garden hotline. Dial 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. Don't be shy. We want to hear from you. Call or text us and let us know what problems you're facing. Let us know how we're doing. Call or text 609-685-1880. If we use your comment on the air, we'll send you a free Bloomers t-shirt. Call or text us at 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. And we'll see you in the garden. You know, some of our most frequent questions revolve around organic container gardening for houseplants, annuals, and of course, vegetables. Coast of Maine's Bar Harbor Blend organic potting soil is a lightweight soil mixture made with salmon, blueberry, lobster, and other compost, as well as calcium and chitin-rich lobster shells, sphagnum peat, perlite, and kelp meal. It is a great soil. And Coast of Maine's Bar Harbor organic potting soil is rich in organic material, creating lush, disease-resistant plants that require less watering, less feeding. Its rich, dark brown color provides the perfect balance between water retention and drainage needed for healthy plants. Coast of Maine's Bar Harbor Blend organic potting soil is available at these local retailers.
Tony's Farm and Garden, Windsor, New Jersey. Espen Shades Garden Centers and Greenhouse, Lititz, Pennsylvania. Pickering Valley Feed and Farm, Exton, Pennsylvania.
Your next houseplant is waiting for you in Bloomers Home and Garden Center's greenhouse. Bloomers recognizes that houseplant choices are as important to your interior decorating as the fabric on your couch. The right plant paired with the perfect container can bring a dynamic change to your home. A houseplant brings life to your world and connects your home's interior to the greater outdoors. Even a small succulent placed on your coffee table has a way of connecting your living room to the Amazon rainforest. How about an air plant in your kitchen? Looking for an indoor flowering plant to add color to your plant palette? Bloomers has a large revolving assortment of flowering beauties. From aglaonemas to ZZ plants, Bloomers Greenhouse is stocked with your next favorite indoor plant. Bloomers carries a large selection of pottery and containers to match your home's decor and make any of your plants more beautiful. Bloomers experts can help you care for your plants and have the fertilizer, insecticides, leaf shine, and specialty soils you need to grow healthy and happy indoor plants. Visit Bloomers Home and Garden Center's greenhouse and make every room in your home a living room. Visit bloomers.com for more information. That's bloomers.com, and we'll see you in the garden.
You're listening to Bloomers in the Garden Radio. Listen anytime through your favorite podcast provider or hear us on the radio each weekend. Every Saturday morning, Bloomers in the Garden Radio is heard in Philadelphia and throughout the whole Delaware Valley, first at 8 a.m. on Talk 860 WWDB and again at 9 a.m. on AM 800 WTMR. On Sunday at 8 a.m., we can be heard through the New York Tri-State area on Classic Oldies 1250 AM WMTR. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in the garden.
Welcome back to Bloomers in the Garden. Well, and you know, we had a listener, a lady who called us, Sharon, and she sent us an email, and it was pretty intense.
Well, yeah, concerning her plant, that's
for sure. Was. She has a lilac that was looking pretty bad in her pot. She had a pot.
Right.
And she sent us a picture on that, and it did look pretty bad.
And that was the whole key. It was in a pot. Yes. You know, it was defoliating. We talked about, I think, this last week, where as far as it, with it defoliating now, it's not that that wasn't a problem. But this damage you could see was happening from early on. It wasn't just because it was fall, but it was really spindly. And because it was growing in a
pot.
In a pot. All right. Remember that. It was growing in a pot. What else? It was just, it just did not look healthy.
No, it didn't. And
because it was growing in a
pot.
Right. That's right. Yeah. All right.
What? I think we got the message through, right?
Sharon, what's going on is that you were growing it in a
POT pot.
And that there wasn't adequate drainage. And that it looks like as if the whole plant was just suffocating and that there wasn't any air circulation around the root system. Mm-hmm. It was a problem not necessarily with your plant, but with your pot. So the moisture that was in the soil, and it looked like decent potting soil, mm-hmm. But the issue was the drainage hole on the bottom more than likely was clogged. And it was sitting in too much water, and it never got a chance to grow out of it. Yeah, wouldn't you say the majority? I would say 50-50.
Right.
The plants that are doing poorly, half of them are an environmental issue because people are like overcompensating with care. Mm-hmm. They're taking care of them too much.
Too much.
Yeah. You know, they're
taking too much.
I'm sorry, I'm laughing because I'm thinking about last year, right? Maria telling us about how she would take her plants out and give them wind baths. That's the ultimate in overcare of your plants. But right. And she would shake them. Maria, I hope you're listening.
She got plenty of time to do that, right?
And now she, like, it's like she, with Sharon's lilac, she just was overwatering it, and where it just needed to dry out and let it, you know, these plants are meant to grow on their own without our help. And it just, the leaves themselves are no insect damage, the stems. And, you know, do you on the lilac, if you look at a lilac real close, that there are little white specks on the bark of a lilac, but that's natural. They're supposed to be that way. It's just how they look. Where I was wondering if she thought that that maybe was a scale or was something else, but it wasn't.
Yeah.
So when we diagnose plant problems, first thing, it's is it an environmental issue, meaning where it's planted, how it's being taken care of, or is it an insect or disease issue? And then once you decide which direction the problem is, then it's relatively easy. You just narrow it down from process of elimination. Where Sharon, again, she just was overwatering that plant. And I think, like, she has a picture of it, and it's on her porch right near, it looks like a spigot.
It does.
So it's really convenient to water.
Yeah,
and amazing. Like, where here's...
Matter of fact, it looks kind of wet there.
It does. It
just
does.
Got done
where there's a downspout right near it. So not only was it, you know what, not getting a chance to dry out, but anyway, we're beating up on Sharon.
I know we are.
Sorry, Sharon. But the good news is... Mm-hmm. The plant's probably 40%, 50% defoliated.
Mm-hmm. At least.
Even if it was completely defoliated, if you pull it out of that pot and plant it in the ground, mm-hmm. or even if you go and replant it, because this was pretty new. I think she said she got it in the spring.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it must have been late spring because you can tell by how it looks like the root system in the pot itself is that she can replant it. Get some drainage underneath.
Drainage, yeah.
And like, here's a secret that we have. For drainage, some people say, oh, you put stones on the bottom of the pots. You know what? When it's a big plant, you know those styrofoam peanuts that you get when it's packing material and stuff like that? Mm-hmm. You put those in there and that it's light because then all of a sudden your pot doesn't weigh 200 pounds and that it creates an airspace so that it allows your plant's roots to have air circulation around the roots. It doesn't clog the drainage hole, and it works really well. So if you're, you know, being the Christmas season is upon us soon.
Soon.
Yeah, cool. Christmas is coming early.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, Uncle Joe.
Uncle Joe.
That's a different show.
That's right.
Anyway, that you're running your Christmas gifts early this year, I hope.
Yeah.
40% of Bloomer's Christmas inventory has not been delivered.
Yeah.
Oh. No, I think it's in Long Beach.
Oh, in Long Beach. So,
anyway, I digress. But again, use styrofoam peanuts as a drainage for larger plants. Now, we're talking about plants that are in like 2-gallon pots or 10-inch pots, something that size or larger. And that way that it's not going to make the pot heavy for you to lug around. Mm-hmm. Anything to add, Julio?
Yeah, she can use her probe finger. And
what is that called?
Her probe finger probe.
Her index finger probe?
Yes, to check the soil.
What does she do with that?
She'll check the soil. She'll stick it in there in the soil and
make
sure that it's either wet or dry.
All right. Okay. How does she know when to water that?
Well, when she puts her finger down and it's dry, then you want to water. Because by then it'll be...
So let it go dry before watering.
That's correct.
There you go. You heard it from Julio himself. That's it. Water it when it needs it.
Yeah.
Feed it when it needs it. Don't try to, you know, anticipate it. Plants, when they go dry on the surface, it's okay. It's okay. Even if they got a little wilty, that's okay. Don't overwater because it takes forever. Like, how long do you have to wait for? Like, you overwater something and that peat moss-based potting soil or soil-based potting soil never dries out. So I'd err on the side of letting it go dry first. So I hope that helps. Sharon, you sent us, it was an email, by the way.
She
said,
yeah.
How did she get her email address?
I don't know.
We're talking about that.
Yeah.
Somebody's watching out there.
Oh, boy.
But I hope that she is listening today. And we do appreciate it. It was a very sweet email.
Thank you,
and
Sharon.
Thank you for listening.
Yeah, it was a good shot, too. Beautiful pictures.
Yeah. The pictures were perfect because we could diagnose it because it was real close up to the stems, and we knew that it wasn't an insect problem.
Yeah, thank you.
Yep. All right, we'll be back right after this. Hi, this is Len Schroeder from Bloomers in the Garden. Do you have a landscape, garden, or plant question? If so, call or text us using the Bloomers in the Garden hotline. Dial 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. Don't be shy. We want to hear from you. Call or text us and let us know what problems you're facing. Let us know how we're doing. Call or text 609-685-1880. If we use your comment on the air, we'll send you a free Bloomers t-shirt. Call or text us at 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. And we'll see you in the garden.
Before the weather gets too cold, now's the time to apply Fertilume's winterizer for established lawns. Grass absorbs the greatest amount of nutrients later in the season, just prior to the winter months. This 25-5-6 analysis also contains 5 micronutrients: boron, copper, iron, manganese, and zinc. Fertilume's winterizer for established lawns builds hardiness, stem strength, and disease resistance, ensuring a healthy, stable plant which can endure the hardships of winter better than weaker plants. Lawns fed in the fall are first to green up in the spring. So, the next time you are visiting your favorite garden center, ask for Fertilume's winterizer for established lawns and expect to have the best looking lawn in the neighborhood.
Green Acres Nursery and Garden Center, West County Line Road, Colmar, Pennsylvania. Herbin's Garden Center, Chestnut Street, Emmis, Pennsylvania. Laurel Oak Garden Center, Thompson Mill Road, Marlton, New Jersey.
The Bird Sanctuary at Bloomers Home and Garden Center is dedicated to the care and feeding of wild birds. We carry a flock of feeders like the Brome Squirrel Proof Feeder, which has a lifetime guarantee. Brome makes fantastic feeders for frustrating squirrels and feeding songbirds. Bloomers Bird Sanctuary has a vast selection of wild bird seed, suet, seed cakes, and mealworms. We carry Lyric, Cole, CNS, Pine Tree Farms, and our own line called Bloomers Blend. Bloomers Blend Songbird Magnet contains premium black oil sunflower, peanut splits, millet, safflower, and tree nuts. It's sure to attract the most colorful songbirds to your yard. Bloomers Home and Garden Center is located in Washington Township in Gloucester County, New Jersey. Visit us online at www.bloomers.com. When you come in, ask for Shirley Spurbeck, Bloomers Wild Bird Specialist. Mention you heard it on Bloomers in the Garden Radio, and we'll give you $10 off a 20-pound bag of Bloomers Blend Songbird Magnet Mix. You're listening to Bloomers in the Garden Radio. Listen anytime through your favorite podcast provider or hear us on the radio each weekend. Every Saturday morning, Bloomers in the Garden Radio is heard in Philadelphia and throughout the whole Delaware Valley, first at 8 a.m. on Talk 860 WWDB and again at 9 a.m. on AM 800 WTMR. On Sunday at 8 a.m., we can be heard through the New York tri-state area on Classic Oldies, 1250 AM WMTR. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in the garden. Welcome back to Bloomers in the Garden. Julio.
Oh, boy.
You know, gardening season's winding down. You probably got your last crops harvested. Mm-hmm. Supposed to be cold coming up, thank goodness, because it's been the hottest on record right now in October. Mm-hmm. Consider planting a cover crop. Hmm. Now, so you're going to rip out all your vegetables.
Right.
You know, and that, you know, yes, you can compost the ones that are clean. That's another show because we talked about diseases that don't die in your compost pile. So anyway, the ones that are safe, you compost. The ones that you have questionable diseases or even insects, you want to just go ahead and put them in the refuse pile and let those great big mountainous piles destroy them because they get hot enough till they'll kill the pathogen. Your composter probably will not. Okay, got that out of the way. But that's not what they're talking about. That's a different show. Mm. A cover crop is a way to create biomass, and it's to improve your soil. So often we talk about adding organic matter, and using a cover crop is the ultimate natural way of using green manure.
Green manure.
I have air quotes. Green manure.
Green manure.
Air quotes for green manure. because what it does is it improves your soil. It improves drainage, the soil structure, or tilth. It makes it feel softer, and it makes it into a better loam soil. Sound good. But it also does some things. Like, so overwintering weeds and weeds that may blow in and come in, it's going to knock them out.
Beautiful.
And it's going to also, there are types, different types. Like, well, explain nitrogen fix. Here, I'm putting Julio on the spot all show long. Explain nitrogen fixed bacteria and nitrogen fixing plant. Let's stick with just the plants. Nitrogen fixing plants.
Right.
Explain that, please.
Okay. These plants are going to, they're going to colonize the bacteria, okay, that, and they're going to extract it from the nitrogen from the air, okay? And so they're going to colonize that in their root systems. And that's going to fix,
the nitrogen, right?
The nitrogen, right.
So it's basically free fertilizer.
It is.
And that not all plants do this. There's only a certain type of plants that will do this. And that's the whole point behind a cover crop. So when you go to your local garden center and you say, look, I'm looking for a cover crop, that you'll probably find it by the packs of seeds, that there'll be different types. And that, to me, the best ones are the ones that have the most nitrogen-fixed bacteria properties. Now, what are those? Legumes, peas, definitely. Peas will add, even regular peas that you eat will add nitrogen back into your soil. So it's not just robbing your soil of nutrient value, that when you turn them back in and they decompose in the soil, that nitrogen gets added back into the soil. Very cool.
Very nice.
Very cool. Clover. I don't know why we don't have more clover lawns. You don't have to cut it, really, you know. No. But I guess you can't run and catch a pass when you're running through clover.
You get stung by a bee.
Yeah, your ankles are all covered in plants. But anyway, clover is one that will replace that nitrogen and put it back into the soil.
Wonderful.
It is something that I'm going to do. Like I've talked about all summer. Good. I've talked about my cutting garden that I put in front of my house. It's I'll admit I didn't cut as many bunches of flowers that I should have, but I'm going to do it again next year.
Oh, I look great.
And I'm going to go and do this whole cover crop in that area because I've got weeds. I got inundated with weeds because that area hasn't been turned in a long time. And so now, like, the weeds are coming up, and that if I put a cover crop on them, it'll compete with those weeds, and those weeds won't be able to establish, but because the cover crop will overshadow them, there's all kind of benefits. Plus, I'm going to be adding in natural soil, improving my soil. So cover crops are something everybody should be doing and considering. Mm-hmm. There's even another one. Like, you'll see cover crops like grains like rye and oats and wheat. If you're doing a huge area, I can see that. Mm-hmm. But if you're doing the typical garden, I would stick with something that's going to be nitrogen fixing. Mm-hmm.
You would use crimson clover?
Crimson clover, yes. And then I would just look, because there'll be descriptions on the packaging where you want to make sure that it has in there that it says that it's nitrogen fixed. Otherwise, it may be a grain, and grains are okay. Well, the roots will grow deep, and they'll be okay that way, and they'll add biomass to your soil, but not necessarily the benefits of the nitrogen. And there's all kinds of things. Mm-hmm. I mean, alyssum is also one, and you'll see there are cover crops where there are blends that have like everything in it.
Oh,
it's not just one monoculture, that it's all different types mixed together. So,
that's cool.
It's something to do.
Yeah, it is.
Next spring, when you put out your garden, think about this. Mm-hmm. Instead of, like, you know, you worry about the weeds and things, use a cover crop in the row, in between the rows and around the plants as like a mulch.
Mulch, yeah.
Where you allow, like clover, you allow the cover crop to grow, and it chokes out the weeds, also adds a nitrogen back to your soil while you're cultivating the wanted vegetables, the cucumbers and the tomatoes and the peppers and the eggplant. So you'll end up having So instead of like if you were putting down, say, cedar mulch or hardwood mulch or black dyed mulch or whatever mulch you want, it's the same type of thing, but it's a living mulch by using a lower growing cover crop.
And it's improving your soil.
That's key.
Yep. The health of your soil is important.
That's key.
Yeah.
Think of it. Think of it as a living mulch in that where you're turning it in and that it's good for your garden.
Yeah. You don't see that too much around people using it.
They don't know. And hey, you heard it here. Bloomers in the Garden.
That's right.
Len and Julio.
That's right.
You know where to go for the information.
What's our number again? 609-685-1880.
Say that again, Julio.
What was the number again?
All right. What Julio's trying to say in his quiet way is, again, that hotline number is 609-685-1880.
And talk to us about what? Cover crops.
Cover crops. Yes. Talk to us about anything.
Yeah.
Anything. We want to help you to become a better gardener.
Yes, we do.
But for one, those of you that are starting to see your garden peter out, absolutely try a cover crop. You will have a better garden next year for it. But you got to remember, you got to turn it in early, I would say very early spring, so that has a chance to break down in the soil before you plant. You can't do it the day before you're going to plant. Yeah. All right. Anything to add?
No, sir.
All right. We'll be right back right after this. Hi, this is Len Schroeder from Bloomers in the Garden. Do you have a landscape, garden, or plant question? If so, call or text us using the Bloomers in the Garden hotline. Dial 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. Don't be shy. We want to hear from you. Call or text us and let us know what problems you're facing. Let us know how we're doing. Call or text 609-685-1880. If we use your comment on the air, we'll send you a free Bloomers t-shirt. Call or text us at 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. And we'll see you in the garden. Your next houseplant is waiting for you in Bloomers Home and Garden Center's greenhouse. Bloomers recognizes that houseplant choices are as important to your interior decorating as the fabric on your couch. The right plant paired with the perfect container can bring a dynamic change to your home. A houseplant brings life to your world and connects your home's interior to the greater outdoors. Even a small succulent placed on your coffee table has a way of connecting your living room to the Amazon rainforest. How about an air plant in your kitchen? Looking for an indoor flowering plant to add color to your plant palette? Bloomers has a large revolving assortment of flowering beauties. From aglaonemas to ZZ plants, Bloomers Greenhouse is stocked with your next favorite indoor plant. Bloomers carries a large selection of pottery and containers to match your home's decor and make any of your plants more beautiful. Bloomers experts can help you care for your plants and have the fertilizer, insecticides, leaf shine, and specialty soils you need to grow healthy and happy indoor plants. Visit Bloomers Home and Garden Center's greenhouse and make every room in your home a living room. Visit bloomers.com for more information. That's bloomers.com, and we'll see you in the garden.
Dreaming of a gorgeous garden? Give your azaleas, rhododendron, blueberries, and evergreens a powerful boost with the number one acid-loving plant food, Espoma Organic Hollytone. Hollytone is a perfect blend of natural, long-lasting ingredients that nourish plants for stronger roots, faster growth, and bountiful blooms. Plus, it's easy to use and safe for people, pets, and planet. Visit Espoma.com for a retailer near you and helpful gardening tips. Espoma, a natural in the garden since 1929.
You're listening to Bloomers in the Garden Radio. Listen anytime through your favorite podcast provider or hear us on the radio each weekend. Every Saturday morning, Bloomers in the Garden Radio is heard in Philadelphia and throughout the whole Delaware Valley, first at 8 a.m. on Talk 860 WWDB and again at 9 a.m. on AM 800 WTMR. On Sunday at 8 a.m., we can be heard through the New York tri-state area on Classic Oldies, 1250 a.m. WMTR. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in the garden.
Welcome back to Bloomers in the Garden. Well, and you know, as people come into the garden center and they don't find any more mums, right?
Mums are gone, everybody. Sorry.
Yep. But guess what, folks? Don't walk out because we have beautiful ornamental kale and cabbage, okay?
That's right.
And they're the longest lasting fall plant you can have.
That's right. And that where, again, if you got mums, they're going to get a frost on top. They're not going to look good. Even if they had buds, they're not going to come out. They can stand a chill, but once they get that hard frost, they're done. And that we've been fooled into thinking that we've got this endless summer going on. But again, go there, Julio. That it's gonna end. Like I think the forecast, long range forecast, we always check that because we need to know what's the temperature gonna be. Do we need to worry about any plants outside? It's for in the 60s coming up all the way through Halloween. So again, we're in the I guess middle of the 25th, something like that. I don't know. I don't even know today's date. What is today?
23rd.
But again, from here to November, we're going to be below 60 degrees as a high. Mm-hmm. So that means nighttime temperatures are going to be as low as 40s.
40-ish. Yeah.
Frost, we can get a little pinch of frost easily between here and there. So our point is that if you want a plant that's going to look good all the way through probably Christmas, that you should plant ornamental kale or ornamental cabbage. Now, people sometimes say they're flowering cabbage or flowering kale. They don't flower, okay? And they're not supposed to flower. What's the ornamental portion of them, Julio?
The ornamental portion of it is the center, I think. You know, that's where the color is, right?
Yep.
And so it just depends on which variety you get or in what color you like.
Yeah, because the colors are mostly red, pink, white. And it's not like a true red, like a fire engine red. It's more of like a purpley red. And that there's also a difference between cabbage. Cabbage has a smooth leaf, very pretty, where kale has that ruffled leaf.
Yeah, ruffled.
You always see that kind of kale when it's around the, I guess they don't really, do they have salad bars anymore in the age of COVID?
Some.
Yeah, I'm not going. I'm not taking any salad bar.
They have those
sneeze plates before there was ever COVID. Anyway, but that's what you always see. And that its ruffly leaf gives it a texture, and all good landscapes are a blend of color, texture, and form, and that it depends on what the look you're going for. So smooth leaf and a leaf that it looks like regular cabbage, not because it gets ahead, but because it has those smooth outer leaves. And that would be cabbage. And ornamental kale is ruffled, and there's a tall variety, which I like very much. Peacock is the name of it. And it has that long, tall leaf, usually in reddish with a little bit of green to it, but it gives some height where some of the regular ornamental cabbage and kale, they're on the short side. They're maybe going to be 8 inches, maybe a little bit taller, where this one will be at least 18 inches.
Ooh, nice.
And very fluffy, and it has it almost looks like a plume to it.
Yeah, it does.
So keep an eye out for that one. It's perfect for combo pots, and that now you can get ornamental kale and cabbage. You can get them in 4-inch pots, so you could do a combo pot. Yeah. And don't forget pansies.
Pansies
are another opportunity getting not only winter and late fall color, but also they'll bloom again starting in March better than they did in fall. So you get two seasons out of them. Now, pansies, if they're in the shade or if you're in one of our northern zones, you might be able to get them to overwinter. But remember that eventually most of our listening area that you're going to need to replace them in summer because they will peter out, or you're going to mix some regular annuals, summer flowering annuals, so that when they do decide to go dormant, that you're going to go and have something there. So don't think you're going to get the entire summer season out of them. So if you plant them now, you'll get the spring, you'll get fall, spring, and then summer. When it gets real hot, they just disappear.
Yeah, they're gone.
Yeah, they're done. Yeah. So, but with a name like Pansy, they've got to be tough. Anyway. All right. So on that note, we're going to break. We'll be right back in the garden right after this. Hi, this is Len Schroeder from Bloomers in the Garden. Do you have a landscape, garden, or plant question? If so, call or text us using the Bloomers in the Garden hotline. Dial 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. Don't be shy. We want to hear from you. Call or text us and let us know what problems you're facing. Let us know how we're doing. Call or text 609
865-1880. If we use your comment on the air, we'll send you a free Bloomers t-shirt. Call or text us at 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. And we'll see you in the garden.
You know, some of our most frequent questions revolve around organic container gardening for houseplants, annuals, and of course, vegetables. Coast of Maine's Bar Harbor Blend Organic Potting Soil is a lightweight soil mixture made with salmon, blueberry, lobster, and other compost, as well as calcium and chitin-rich lobster shells, sphagnum peat, perlite, and kelp meal. It is a great soil. And Coast of Maine's Bar Harbor Organic Potting Soil is rich in organic material, creating lush, disease-resistant plants that require less watering, less feeding. Its rich, dark brown color provides the perfect balance between water retention and drainage needed for healthy plants. Coast of Maine's Bar Harbor Blend Organic Potting Soil is available at these local retailers.
Stoffers of Kissel Hill Home and Garden Store, Rorristown, Pennsylvania. Ashcombe Farm and Greenhouses, Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania. Pickering Valley Feed and Farm, Exton, Pennsylvania.
Dreaming of a gorgeous garden? Give your azaleas, rhododendron, blueberries, and evergreens a powerful boost with the number one acid-loving plant food, Espoma Organic Hollytone. Hollytone is a perfect blend of natural, long-lasting ingredients that nourish plants for stronger roots, faster growth, and bountiful blooms. Plus, it's easy to use and safe for people, pets, and planet. Visit Espoma.com for a retailer near you and helpful gardening tips. Espoma, a natural in the garden since 1929.
You're listening to Bloomers in the Garden Radio. Listen anytime through your favorite podcast provider or hear us on the radio each weekend. Every Saturday morning, Bloomers in the Garden Radio is heard in Philadelphia and throughout the whole Delaware Valley, first at 8 a.m. on Talk 860 WWDB and again at 9 a.m. on AM 800 WTMR. On Sunday at 8 a.m., we can be heard through the New York Tri-State area on Classic Oldies, 1250 AM WMTR. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in the garden.
Welcome back to Bloomers in the Garden. I'm Len. He's Julio. We're going to talk about your garden. Hey, we were talking about cover crop earlier, but you know, with tomatoes, peppers winding down, it's time to plant onion sets.
Yes.
Onion sets and garlic.
And garlic, yeah.
Right? Do you cook?
Mm-hmm, I
do. Onions and garlic?
Yeah, both.
Now you're Cuban.
Yes, I am.
Do you do exclusive Cuban food?
No.
No?
No.
Okay.
I do American.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That I was cutting up an onion the other day. And how come, and I'll ask you, maybe you know, sometimes an onion will like get to your eyes and like, oh my gosh, you can't, like you're tearing up. Oh, yeah. And other times there's not an issue.
Right.
I just wonder how come sometimes there are and sometimes there isn't. Anyway, if anybody who knows out there, call the hotline, please. So I'd like to know how come some onions like make you cry and other onions don't. Yeah. And it's not Vidalia onions. It's regular yellow Spanish onions.
Yeah,
okay. That being said, if you plant onions in the fall, it is said, and garlic, that they are better tasting than the ones that are planted in the same year. So you're going to plant them now for harvest in the spring. So you're going to plant any fall planted onions and garlic. The harvest is not now. It's going to be in the spring, but they say that it has a better taste. But the key with that is you've got to make sure that they make it through the winter. They don't rot in the ground. One thing I want to clear up right away. Those of you that have never planted garlic before, you do not go to the grocery store and grab the garlic off the shelf and think that, oh, I'll just take a clove from here and put it in. It's different varieties. Like garlic may be coming from California or someplace that isn't hardy. You need to go to your local garden center. Go to your local garden centers, whether you're in the Philadelphia area or the New York area, that the tri-state area, New York or Philadelphia, you want to make sure you're going to your local garden centers to get onion sets and garlic because they will be hardy for your area. Okay? Just want to make that perfectly clear.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. Also, a clove of garlic, like in cooking, is exactly what you're putting in. You don't put the whole bulb in. Where an onion set, you do. An onion set's a baby onion. Where the garlic, you got to spread it apart.
Break it up.
Yep. And then you're going to, each one of those cloves are going to go in.
Cool.
I probably, Julio, agree or disagree.
Right.
Good drainage is probably the most important thing when getting good onion sets in garlic.
Correct.
Heavy clay soil or hard soil, you need to work a little bit of sand in there, a little bit of organic matter, trying to figure out something that's going to make that drain better so that you don't have moisture filling up around that onion or that garlic clove, because it'll rot and then you have nothing. It's interesting how there's a lot of farms that are in sandy soiled areas that are onion growers and garlic growers. Right. And it's just because, you know, I used to think it's because it's easier to harvest, but it's not. It's because they grow better because they have the drainage.
Drainage, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's key.
Yeah. Have you ever grown onions?
No, garlic I have.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. Tell me about your experience growing garlic.
Oh, I loves it.
Yeah?
It really tastes great.
Really?
Yeah, big difference.
And that it says that you leave them in long enough so that there are the leaves become compound, where there's multiple layers of leaves to where they have 10 layers of leaves around the, then you pull it up. Because those leaves are the white portion that are surrounding that bulb. And then it's matured enough to the size that you can harvest. I'm not sure exactly how did you know when to harvest your garlic?
Well, the leaves start to turn yellow.
So you let them go dormant. Mm-hmm. And folks, we always talk about dormancy and being cold, but that's not always a way. It's dormancy is often brought by sunlight, and that where it's a different time of the year, it's something that don't just try to wrap your head around the fact that dormancy is not always cold. It's more sunlight than anything else. So it gets brown. Yeah. Do you let it get like brown, or is it just like yellow?
When it turns yellowish.
Okay.
Yeah, yellow.
And then you pull them out and you let them dry, right?
Yeah, you got to let them dry, yeah.
You got to let them dry. Yeah. And so with onions, it's basically the same process.
Right.
Onion sets are those little tiny, look like baby onions.
Yeah, tiny.
And you want to use those instead of seed. The production is more reliable. The taste is better. And again, you want to use sets rather than seed. And that's our opinion. You want to have that battle. Call Julio Zamora, care of Bloomers in the Garden. That's another show. But again, I think you should try it, and also that you can. We used to get back in the produce days. We used to get red onions from Italy,
oh, nice.
And that where they would braid the tops of the onions,
oh, yeah.
And it was just
cool?
So cool.
Yeah, it was cool.
So cool. Anyway, but. But as far as like that's something you share with neighbors and friends and stuff. Everybody uses onions and garlic, and they'll notice a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And again, the whole reason why you're putting them in now is because the taste is better than if you plant them in the spring.
Right
now,
on,
granted, you're going to want to do succession planting, so you're going to want to put some in now so that you harvest, and then when you're going to replace them in the spring so that you still have an onion harvest going.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
Yeah, so just keep doing that. Mm-hmm. Keep doing that. Yeah. And it's easy.
Yeah,
you don't have, like if you plant now,
simple.
What weeds do you have coming up?
Yeah,
none.
Really none.
You know, really none. By the time you're harvesting, you don't really have that many issues. The worst thing you can do is leave them in the ground too long and then they rot or they begin to rot or they get, there's an onion maggot that can get in, but that only comes if you leave them in the ground too long.
Yeah.
And that you're going to want to harvest. When did you harvest your garlic? Do you remember?
I can't remember.
Time of the year? It's going to be spring.
Spring, yeah.
You're not
spring.
Keeping it till August.
Nah,
I mean,
no
you're going to do it sometime, you know, probably April.
Oh, yeah, at least.
And again, you're it's just like how a tulip bulb is planted now, that where you're trying to get girth on that thing, and you're trying to get it to be active and let it grow. And then the whole sign of like a tulip bulb, when a tulip bulb begins to turn yellow, the garlic and the onions do the same thing. Basically when they're done.
Yeah.
So again, you're looking for that to be your key that it's time to harvest,
but you
do have to let them dry, let them dry. You don't think that you'd like, it's not like, you know, I guess beans where you take it and you go ahead and eat it that same time.
You gotta
give it some time to cure.
Yeah.
All right, if you got questions about raising garlic, cover crops, anything in your garden, landscape, houseplants, make sure you call that hotline. Julio, what's that number?
609-685-1880.
All right, we'll be right back in the garden right after this.
Hi, this is Len Schroeder from Bloomers in the Garden. Do you have a landscape, garden, or plant question? If so, call or text us using the Bloomers in the Garden hotline. Dial 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. Don't be shy. We want to hear from you. Call or text us and let us know what problems you're facing. Let us know how we're doing. Call or text 609-685-1880. If we use your comment on the air, we'll send you a free Bloomers t-shirt. Call or text us at 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. And we'll see you in the garden. The Bird Sanctuary at Bloomers Home and Garden Center is dedicated to the care and feeding of wild birds. We carry a flock of feeders like the Brome Squirrel Proof Feeder, which has a lifetime guarantee. Brome makes fantastic feeders for frustrating squirrels and feeding songbirds. Bloomers Bird Sanctuary has a vast selection of wild bird seed, suet, seed cakes, and mealworms. We carry Lyric, Kohl's, CNS, Pine Tree Farms, and our own line called Bloomers Blend. Bloomers Blend Songbird Magnet contains premium black oil sunflower, peanut splits, millet, safflower, and tree nuts. It's sure to attract the most colorful songbirds to your yard. Bloomers Home and Garden Center is located in Washington Township in Gloucester County, New Jersey. Visit us online at www.bloomers.com. When you come in, ask for Shirley Spurbeck, Bloomers Wild Bird Specialist. Mention you heard it on Bloomers in the Garden Radio, and we'll give you $10 off a 20-pound bag of Bloomers Blend Songbird Magnet Mix.
Bloomers in the Garden is brought to you each week by Bloomers Home and Garden Center. Bloomers is an award-winning garden center just 20 minutes from Philadelphia. Bloomers has been providing expert advice turning brown thumbs green for over 30 years. At Bloomers, we want you to ask us every question, even if you think it's silly. We share information in a friendly, non-judgmental way that is meant to teach and spread the joy of gardening. Visit Bloomers Home and Garden Center in Washington Township, Gloucester County. For directions, go to bloomers.com, and we'll see you in the garden.
You're listening to Bloomers in the Garden Radio. Listen anytime through your favorite podcast provider or hear us on the radio each weekend. Every Saturday morning, Bloomers in the Garden Radio is heard in Philadelphia and throughout the whole Delaware Valley, first at 8 a.m. on Talk 860 WWDB and again at 9 a.m. on AM 800 WTMR. On Sunday at 8 a.m., we can be heard through the New York Tri-State area on Classic Oldies 1250 AM WMTR. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in the garden.
Julio, down in the schoolyard. Julio, we were at school today.
Oh, I'll tell you what.
Cover crops, right? Cover crops, and planting onions and garlic.
That's right.
All right, we're going to be here right here the same time next week. We want to see you here in the garden with us.
Next time you visit your favorite garden center, tell them you listen to Bloomers in the Garden.
Thank you, producer extraordinaire Brett Kronberger. And we'll see you next week right here. We'll see you in the garden.
See you in the garden.